Blog Talk Radio.
Little one, everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Everybody out there at home, hopefully in isolation, as is the rest of the world. This is Tippy Feldstein coming to you today, right now, live from New York with my wonderful guest, Peter DePaola. And I'm going to open this channel to finally talk about this thing that everybody's talking about. Because everybody's talking about Corona, and I have not said anything about it yet. But I think it's time that I do say something, and today is that day for me to say that. So I wanted to, first of all, invite all of you to go ahead and plug in. And what I'm going to do that, I'm going to forward to you the link where you can go in, and you'll see once you do that, you'll be able to go to the chat room, and you'll also be able to link in to the studio. So if you want to call in, the number to call in is 914-338-0686. But if you do call in and if you do have a question, actually I'm not sure how you'll be able to go into the chat room. So I'm going to leave my email open and have you email me any questions you have so that I can look at it and I will respond. So I'm opening my email for you. The email to send you questions to right now would be tippytalkshow@gmail.com. Tippytalkshow is T-I-P-P-Y, talk show. We're talking about something that is on everybody's mind, and there's so many things that people have not discussed, and that's what we're going to try to discuss today. So I'd like to welcome Peter DePaola. Peter DePaola is a student of the Kabbalah, but not exactly just a student, because he's also an instructor. He is got a different way of looking at things, and I think you guys are going to be very interested to hear about what he's going to say and what we're going to talk about. But I really would love to get your feedback if you're listening. Yes, we want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear what everybody has to say about it, especially if you're going to touch on something that we're not touching on. So I hear a lot of noise. I'm going to mute all the microphones right now so that we don't hear that noise. We do have coronavirus dominating most of the conversation, but it's also dominating most of our life right now. People are really afraid and they're getting more stressed. And because of that, we've decided to open a conversation right here on Tippy Talk about Corona. Because I like to approach everything from a spiritual perspective. That's just my personal preference. But it doesn't mean that scientific proof and data is not important, because it is. Because the spiritual element really is tied together with our physical and with everything else. So let me welcome Peter DePaula. Let me see if the microphone works. We will be able to do that. Hi, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tiffy. How are you? Thank you for having me on. It's such an honor. I really am pleased to be here with you today. Talk about this amazing subject that's just changing the world forever.
I do think so. I think that since you said that, I don't think when this is over, life is ever going to be business as usual. I think a lot of things are going to change, if not everything is going to change when this is over. So yeah, things are not going along as usual. That's just my personal feeling. I don't have any proof of that. I don't have any data to support that, but I don't see how life will ever be the same as it was. A lot of things are going to change. A lot of things are going to happen. One of the things that people do when they're afraid, when they don't know about the future, when they're uncertain, is they're very happy and very willing to give away everything, all their rights and all their ability to do things that they normally would never give away if they were not afraid. So that in itself, when there's so many other things, but that in itself makes me suspect that really nothing is going to go back to the way it was. But we are dealing now with the way it is right now, and the way it is right now, especially for us in New York, but I think also for a lot of people all over the world, is that people are isolated. They're in their house for a lot of hours, if not for all the time. Is that basically what is... How do you see that, Peter?
Yeah, this is a good question. First, I'd like to say that when we move forward with this virus and we move forward with our situation, we're going to see more clearly how our relationships are going to change. We'll still go out and buy things and go to the movies and all those things, but our relationships with each other are going to change drastically, because we're not going to relate the same anymore. We're forced now to assess that, to evaluate it, and see in a much deeper level how we associate with each other in our day-to-day activities and what the value of our relationships are with each other. These are things that are far more important than anything else that we could possibly do, because this relationship that we have with each other is what's going to make the world a better place and probably cure us of any further viruses. Because all this virus is really doing is just trying to get our attention and wake us up.
So you're saying that, I'm just clarifying it, that because of the virus attack, that people are going to be forced to look at their relationships, how is that going to happen?
Well, it's happening right now. I mean, we're all staying home, right? So we're all staying in the confines of our home together, and nobody's leaving independently and coming back at a different time. Nobody's on an independent schedule. So that right there is changing our relationships with our families, because really our relationships outside of the home are more superficial. We go to work, we go to the store, whatever it is we do outside of the home, those relationships are more superficial. But when once we go inside and we're forced, and I mean forced not in a bad way, but forced to really assess our relationship with our loved ones, things will change. Things are going to take a drastic change, you know. We have to look at each other in a deeper way.
Well, I wouldn't say we have to, but when you're stuck with someone in a 4x4 for a long period of time, there are a few options that you do have. And I think one of the options you have is to really look and see what your relationship is, and maybe even to work on that with each other. But I also think that it's an opportunity for us to take a really good look at our relationship with ourselves. I think this is a great time to stop and really start thinking about what do we have going on in our brain? We don't usually have time for that. We don't have usually time to just sit around and think about what are we thinking about. So this, if you're doing this, if this is what you're going to do during this time, then you definitely are going to come out changed. So it's one opportunity to do that. But I want to look a little bit at the big picture of the virus, of actually where it came from and how I see where it came from. And I know that you have your vision of what you think, and I'll tell you what I think, and you'll tell me how you can relate to that. First of all, there's no way in the world that I'm going to ever believe that this is an accident. There's no way I'm going to believe that. Now, I know a lot of people believe that, and that's fine, but I don't see that that makes any sense to me. I also don't believe that some crazy bat flew in by the night and dropped some coronavirus on people. That's crazier even. And and yes, abusing animals is not really something that I want to see on this planet ever, anywhere, but I don't see that bringing the virus in. I see it being man-made. I see it being done viciously, not accidentally. So that's just the way I see it here. But now that it's here, the question is, how do we deal with it, and personally, and how do we deal with it socially as a country? And that's basically how I see that. Do you think this was accidental?
No, nothing that happens in this world is accidental. We cause accidents to ourselves. We call them accidents. But when things like this happen, this is not an accident. If we start to look at the world that way, we'll get a very skewed perception. We won't be able to correct anything that's wrong with us if we start to look at everything as an accident. Things happen in this world for a cause and a good cause. And it's our judgment, our ego, our judgment, that makes it, that we add this value to it. We say this is bad because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't feel good. I want life to be the way, to be more comfortable for myself. I want things the way I want it, right? And we're shaken out of that because as we go further into that idea of just satisfying ourselves, then we wind up separating ourselves from others. We have things like this that happen throughout history to wake us up. And the thing that makes this different is, you think about this for a minute. You know, when they had they talked about the Spanish flu, for example, in World War I, they had the Spanish flu, and a lot of people died, millions of people died, but there was no mass communication like there is today between people. So life, it was easier for people to kind of go back to the way they were before. But since we have this ability to communicate in the moment, just like we are now, we can change very, very drastically and very quickly because we have more information at our hand, and we have more experience with relationships with people. Because right now we could, you know, you could have listeners from all over the world listening, whereas 100 years ago, that wasn't possible, right? So things were more isolated, more dense in a way. Now we're a worldly community of people, and we can touch each other's lives. And we're seeing this happen now. We turn on the news, we can see what's happening in France, what's happening in England, what's happening all over Europe, all over South America, etc. We can see that in a moment, right? And these are the things that are real value, because we can start to look at things with a new perception, start to realize there's other people there that are dealing with this also, and I wonder if they're going through the same thing I'm going through, and how do I feel about them? Why do I care about my fellow human being? You know, we don't. And the thing about this virus is it's an invisible, we can call it an enemy, or we can call it a friend, but it's invisible. We don't know where it is, how it is. So it's not like we can say, there's the enemy over there, let's go get them, like in a war, right? When we go over there and kill people, and then after we kill them all, we show them how much we love them. You know, this is different. This is like, this thing is affecting all of us on a very unknown level. It's causing a real, I would say, a fundamental change in the way humanity is going to relate to each other moving forward. And it'll even change markets. It'll change the way people do business. I had somebody tell me, a friend tell me the other day that there's a new model for restaurants opening up where you don't come in and you eat. All you do is call in and you can order a cuisine and it'll be delivered to you. So there's no tables and chairs and atmosphere. So we're going to see things like that happening. You know, people are going to get very creative with, inventions, see new inventions and things in the lifestyle. Maybe we'll see clothing that rejects viruses. As funny as and odd as that might sound, there were people who would buy those things, right? But above and beyond all of that, how are we going to relate to each other? What is the value in our relationships? How are we going to deepen those? This is where the real change comes in. And if we
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. And I love the idea of the relationship. But there's some things that I'm not hearing with all that talk everywhere. I'm not hearing anyone investigating who caused this, who did this. And I think that needs to be addressed. And I'm not hearing anything about why someone would do it. At least I'm not hearing it on the main. A lot of people are asking why someone did it. Did someone do it, for fun? It doesn't make any sense. There's got to be something bigger than that. Forcing us, anytime you're in a situation that is scary and confining, and basically staying home is a total violation of our constitutional rights, but it's in the name of what's better for us in our own interest, then yes, you're going to take something bad that's happening and make the best of it and deal with the relationship issues and deal with all those other things in your life that you can fix. Absolutely. I love that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that whoever did this needs to be eliminated, not just on the physical realm, but on the invisible realm and on the spiritual realm. If there is this energy that wants to cause people harm and wants to take people's rights away and wants to basically murder people, because if somebody actually went on and released it, they're murdering people, then that needs to be eliminated as well, along with people taking a look at their relationship and their life and how they relate to each other. So I love that combination together. There's mm-hmm. other things that are going on that people are not aware of. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is, for example, you can't leave your house right now, right? And someone has gone right. and nobody is going to open a restaurant and have people come in. But there's also a quarantine forbidding people to go to church, but yet there's no quarantine forbidding people to go to Planned Parenthood and have abortions. If there's a quarantine to go to church, why is it so essential to get abortion and that's not quarantine and that is safe? And so that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Why would
There's a lot of things that don't make sense. But what are we going to do? To be driven by our fear and have our fear overcome us? Because as soon as we focus on our fears and our phobias, we work against ourselves, we work against each other. And for a conspiratorial position, you know, who cares? What difference does it make if somebody in some laboratory created this virus? They probably may be doing this all the time. Who knows? It's what we have no control over that. And what are we going to do? Find them and kill them? You know, the thing is, what are we going to do? And I mean, like from a humanitarian level, how are we going to take care of each other? How are we going to guarantee that we can have each other's back? How are we going to take care of each other so that we don't have to deal with these things that wake us up so strikingly? Because all they really do, from the way I see it, and I see it from a Kabbalistic approach, is that we are responsible, and we need to take care of each other. We need to be there for our fellow human beings. We need to make sure that above and beyond my own needs, that everybody else's needs are taken care of. And I'm not speaking about any type of political systems. This is much deeper than that, because there's nothing in it for me. And really, this is where the value of these things that happen to us, this is where they take place and hold ground. This to me is far more important. And look, if somebody's going, can't go to church, you know, I can, if you want, you can turn on your computer and watch church. You can see church. You can see anything you want, whatever religion you have, whatever belief you have, you can turn your computer now. Of course, you can't get an abortion over the internet, but that's another story. And I don't know anything really, to really say much about that. But generally speaking, we'll have situations, in, depending on where we live, you know, and how governments try and restrict us. But in America, it's different. We play this game differently here because of, you know, our rights. We're constantly talking about those. So we're talking about our rights, our constitutional rights, our freedoms, our freedom to express ourselves. Now we have to look at our humanitarian rights, our rights the way, how do we deal with each other? You know, what are we going to do? How is this going to improve the way leadership reacts in the world? You know, because we don't have leaders anymore. We just have followers. So how are we going to find strong leaders that will be able to unite us? You know, or we can unite. We can show them that need for uniting us. You know, these are the things that I'm concerned with.
Right. And those are very valid things, and those are things that are very important. But we also want to make sure that our freedom on an institutional level isn't taken away either. So
absolutely, I agree. Of course.
So if we work on an individual level with the higher spiritual principles rather than with the lower principles, then it's going to affect bigger and bigger communities and eventually become part of a society. And I understand what you're saying.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. The thing is that everybody right now is so afraid. I have one person that's coming here to help me take care of my mother. She's very sick. And she actually called me yesterday and told me she was too afraid to come to work. And she doesn't realize she's one of those few people that still has a job. And I pointed it out to her, but she was too afraid to go to work. And I think people are really afraid because the worst fears that you can have can come out. And when people are afraid, they go both ways. They either become very kind and supportive of other people, so they become like one, or they become very afraid of other people and hostile to other people. So those are the two choices where people go. What you're saying is that people should take the high road and work on their relationship, which I think is a great idea. But I think people also have to, they can't go to sleep and say, I don't want to see what's going on here, because there's something so much bigger going on. They have to see everything all together. The attempt
well, we
over
have to
here,
open our hearts to, we have to open our hearts to each other, don't we? I mean, really, what else do we have? I mean, how much of this do we need before we wake up, before we see how we treat each other, before we see how basically we just live for ourselves in this world? I mean, we're completely corrupted in this world in that sense. We're only concerned with our own self aggrandizement. We're only concerned with, you know, what's the benefit for me, and if I do anything good, what do I get out of it? You know, I mean, we haven't even reached the point where we even understand what good is. You know, so you know, we just have these ideas in our mind, and we can only rely on connecting with others in order to be able to clarify what is really going on in ourselves, because everything that we see outside ourselves, of course, is just a reflection of what's wrong with us. We can see that today. You know, without getting into a discussion about politics, but you see, we're so separated and isolated now in political arenas. When you hear your opponent, whatever side you're on, when you hear your opponent speaking about the other side, you know, the opposite political view, and you listen very clearly, you realize what they're accusing their opponent of is exactly what's going on inside themselves. It's exactly what their sickness is. And it comes from both sides. It comes from all sides. And this is, as we go on and on in this world, our egos get so immense. and so out of control that things that satisfied us 100 years ago are nothing now in comparison. So we need more. We're like a hungry animal. We need to eat bigger pieces of meat. We need more, more satisfaction, more stimulation, right? And as a result of that,
actually, Peter, war is not something that we need now. War has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. I think
no, I said
now
more. I said more. I didn't say war. I said more.
Oh, I thought you said war. Yeah.
No.
We don't need wars. I mean, we have been in a perpetual state of wars for a very long time, but we do not need that. We do not need to be at war. This is just not necessary.
Yes, right. This virus is taking our minds completely off of that. Nobody's thinking about war. You haven't even heard that on the news in weeks. What's going on, in the Middle East, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and what are the Iranians doing? We're not talking about that. We're actually having to get together with one common thread, one cause to bring forth the survival of humanity. We're all coming to agreement on it, no matter what our political, no matter what our motivational view is for power in this world. We all have to look at the same subject and deal with it. And we're going to be forced, and we are being forced, and in a good way, to take care of each other, to help each other. Who's going to find the cure first? That's a great place to be, you know. Not the cure, but the remedy, you know, the thing that if you get sick, you can get healed quickly. Now we're hearing about these drugs that have been around for years that are going to help us get through this, you know. So there's so many wonderful things happening as a result of you could call it some silly virus, and of course don't turn on the TV and listen to the news because they'll scare the life out of you. They'll make you think the world is ending, you know. So that's pretty much what, you know, I'm thinking about at this point. I mean, there's so much to get out of this. There's so much to look at how we can correct ourselves, how we can make this world a better place for everyone, not just how is it going to be better for me. Because if I can make this world a better place for you and everyone I know around me, I also reap the benefit of this improved world. That's just the way it works, you know. By me giving more, my opening up my heart more to those around me, I gain actually twice as much more. But and that's a power, and we give that back. We keep giving that back, you know. And we learn to create an environment that is healthy for everyone. When I say healthy for everyone, it means that we're not considered for our own selfish needs. And that's not an easy thing to do, by the way.
So I'm thinking that we're right now in a situation where we have this thing called Corona, an invisible killer that's going around, and they're saying to us on the news that people are getting killed all over the place, that the hospitals are jam-packed, that I think one of the most horrific things I've heard de Blasio say is that he expects 500,000 people to die within a certain amount of time. What kind of irresponsible, crazy people would say things like that? What do you think is the benefit of scaring people like that? And why is the news constantly acting like they're acting like their job is to scare the life out of people? What's going on?
Well, they always do. Yeah, they always do. They always are scaring you. That's the way they work. They work on fear. That's their motivation because it brings in money. It attracts it. Look, it attracts the dark side of us. That fear is tempting. Oh, let me see what somebody is saying today, and then we fill ourselves with that, and we take that out into the world. You know, because really the only way that we're able to heal ourselves is by always looking into some void, some darkness, in order to be able to see some light. Like they say, the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, because that's where the relief, that's where the light always comes from. It always comes from a state of darkness, doesn't it? I mean, if you think about it, you know, nothing ever, you know, for example, let me use the dark room example. if there's a room that's dark, you can't see anything, it could be filled with incredible treasures, and you wouldn't even know that because there's no light, right? And what's the first thing you say when you walk into a dark room? You don't say, turn up the dark, turn down the dark. We never say that. We say, turn on the light, turn up the light, turn down the light, right? We're always dealing in ways of light. We're always looking to move towards this light, this relief, this state of contentment. And we're always looking to move away from the darkness. But it's that fear and it's that insecurity and it's that those things that we carry with us that force us to do that. Things like viruses, things like storms, like wars, earthquakes, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, all those things. You know, I was having a discussion with someone the other day. I said, why do we need to have a hurricane that has 180 mile an hour winds? Why do we need to have a storm like that? What is the message behind that? What are we saying here? You know, do I need, can a few days of just constant rain, just nice steady rain, have the same cleansing effect as a storm that comes through your town at 180 miles an hour, you know, and wipes out everything in its path? So think about this. Let's say, for example, that this storm is a reflection of what's going on inside us internally, our state of anger, our state of greed, our uncorrected self. And that's what brings us forth. And, because, you know, asking, I don't know if you've ever been in a bad storm or not. I have been in a few of them. After it goes away and you're just tense with fear, you get this sudden feeling of relief. This calm peace comes over you, like the eye of the storm just comes over you. And it makes you feel like, I've been through something, I've survived it, and my vision, I'm new. I'm not the same person I was. I've been made new again. This is what nature does with us and how it plays with us. But if we need something so strong like that to affect us, then we have to really take a look inside and have to say, what is it about myself that's not corrected? What is it about my desires?
Yeah, but this is not nature. This is man-made. And what would you say to people who are saying that basically they're looking and they're seeing that all the constitutional rights are being taken away? They're saying that now they're going to be forcing us to take vaccinations, which we don't really know what's in there, and I'm not sure I want to take it if I don't know exactly what they're giving me. They're saying that our rights are being taken away. We're told that we can't go to church. We're told that we can't leave the house. Every time the government has taken our rights away from us, they've never given it back to us. I mean, look at the Patriot Act. What would you say to them?
Oh, right. Well, you know, whatever we get, whatever we lose, you know, we lose for a reason. But, you know, the founders said, that the cost of freedom is eternal vigilance. We just don't take it for granted. Oh, there's freedom over there. We have it. Now we can turn our back on it. No, you have to fight for it constantly. Why? Because we have this idea that we're free, right? So, and if we take it for granted, we'll lose even that much freedom that we were given, right? So, you know, the whole idea of our rights being taken away, we constantly have to fight to keep that from happening. And if we're going to be forced to get vaccinations, you know, I'm not completely sold on the fact that somebody has done this, or, you know, this is some conspiracy that is.
It's not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. Nobody's saying it's a conspiracy. This is not an accident. Anybody that believes this is done by accident is really naive and doesn't know the way things go in the world, and that's okay. But anybody with a little bit of logic would understand this is not an accidental bat in the night, which is one of the things they're trying to sell you, that some bats are the ones that made it happen. It just cannot be. I don't see how anybody can say that this is done, that nature or God came down from heaven and mixed it in somebody's soup and boom, all of a sudden we had it. It can't be an accident. They even arrested somebody. They even arrested somebody that had tried to smuggle a vial of this to China. He's in jail right now, a professor from Harvard University. There is a lot of, so it's not a conspiracy, it's a fact.
Right, right. Well, you know, we just want to you know, to deal with those things as they occur. We can't live in this state of fear. And yet the world
of course
is not
not.
Perfect, and the world's not perfect. It never will be. The only thing that we have responsibility for is to treat each other well, to treat each other with love. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, every system in the world teaches that, you know, that we have to love one another. We have to take care of each other. But we don't do that because we're too self-absorbed in our own needs. So it's things like this that cause us, like I said, to change, to make an effective change in our attitudes. Right.
I totally can see that that's really important. So, like, for example, what kind of a change would you make in our attitudes to begin with?
I can't tell you how to change or what to change, but we have to look at ourselves inside, internally. We have to look and see what it is that needs to be corrected within ourselves. What is it that, you know, that I am doing? Be responsible for our own behavior and our own attitude towards each other. We can't be constantly putting our will on each other. Believe this, believe that, you know, believe what I believe, make me feel good, so because I know you're going to believe what, you know, we have to really look at, allow each other to be as humanly possible as that is, to be the best of what we are, and that will come forth. But there's always people that rise, you know, to a high scale of merit. There's always those that exceed in a way that shows everyone, you know, that there's a way to live, that we can constantly be growing in that. We don't have to. We can never stay the same. We can never stay as this is the way I am and this is the way I'll always be. There have been times in history where we've acted that way, but we were limited by our experience with the world. But now today, it's changed. Things are changing so fast and so rapidly from one moment to the next. You know, and we're doing that. We're just speeding up time. We're speeding up our experiences. And we're going to speed through this situation in a way that will probably amaze everyone, because it won't be something that, look, we know that we can't ever find a cure for a virus. All we can do is find a way to stop the new strain from killing us. And if that's what moves us forward and motivates us, well, then so be it. That's the way it is.
So that's okay. I'm kind of a little bit confused, but I understand what you're saying. But what you're really talking about is not something specifically for the situation right now. You're talking about everyday life as a general humanity needs to go in that direction, and there's no other direction that humanity can go in other than try to develop better relationships and all that stuff. That's true. But when people right now are afraid, specifically related to this, it's much harder to say, well, how is this different? Would you say something different if before the coronavirus? Would you say something different after the coronavirus? It's still the same thing. People need to work on their relationship. People need to have a closer connection to their spirituality. The awakening, the human awakening, if this situation, if people take advantage of this situation mm-hmm. and work on their own awakening, that would be an ideal place to go. But if people are asleep and they don't realize that the rights are being taken away, their way of life is being shut down, the entire economy is being shut down. You said that the news always scares people. The way they're doing it now is unprecedented. They have never spent on any kind of virus or any kind of plague that we've had. And AIDS, I remember that they used to, everybody that touched AIDS would die. They didn't know what it was. They still didn't shut out everything and talk about it all day and all night. We had the swine flu. They didn't shut everything down. We had the, what was that thing? Ebola. it was also very contagious and tons of people died, they still didn't sit around at every single media outlet and scare the life out of people where they were afraid to breathe, they were afraid to walk. They didn't do all that. It doesn't justify them doing this now to scare people if there isn't something else going on. It just blows my mind. This is not the first time we've had some kind of epidemic. It is the first time that they're shutting all the media down, that they're locking people all over the world into their house, that they're counting. They're literally sitting and counting. One more person died. One more person got infected. You have websites all over the place literally having a countdown. We've never had that before. So this is not a normal situation where you can say, well, you know, we have an epidemic and we all have to just sit around and have a better relationship with each other. Because, of course, that's a given. We should always work on our relationships. But this mm-hmm. is something that is so much bigger than just a virus that happened to kill people. At least that's the way I see it. So we have two choices. We can either be afraid and get into the house and stay there and be afraid to go anywhere, be afraid to do anything, or we can open our eyes and face reality for what it is, what is really going on. I think that's one of the things that is really important for people to maybe do some investigating and maybe try to figure out what's really going on here. You can't trust what the media is telling you because they never tell you the truth. Anybody that thinks the media is telling you the truth is living in a dreamland. So you try to mm-hmm. figure out what's going on, but you also use the same time, you say, okay, this has got to be a human awakening. We've got to wake up to a higher realm of reality. We've got to understand, first of all, how our own actions and our own brain create our own life. That's really important. We've got to wake up to the spiritual realm and realize there's more to life than this. And we've got to wake up to the relationship between us of what we do. So right now, the big majority of people are hating on each other, fighting each other everywhere they go. When I went through a war about when I was a kid. And mm-hmm. when we were going through the war, we were under attack. People were getting killed every single day. And what happened was, with the community, people were helping each other. People were supporting each other. People were actually putting out their best feet forward. So if I would walk down the street and a bomb would explode in front of me, the person walking down the street, even though I don't even know him, they would come with their body and protect me and be willing to take a bullet for me. That's the kind of atmosphere we had over there. I don't see that happening here. We're all in the same boat. I think all our rights are being taken away. We're being quarantined. We're being asked not to go to places that make no sense. Like, why can't I go to church? Why can't I go? Why do we have to have, right now in New York, we have a curfew. That means we have to be inside the house at 8 o'clock. We can't go out before 8 o'clock in the morning. Are they telling me that the virus isn't going to spread before 8 o'clock? That at 8 o'clock, the virus is going to start spreading, and that's why at 8 o'clock, we have to be inside
yeah.
the house?
No,
It
doesn't make
right?
any sense. We have to, I'm telling you, we have to defend our rights. Look, if you want to go out, go out. If you want to go to church, go to church. If you want to go to the supermarket, go to the supermarket. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Nobody's going to make you stay inside.
No, are getting arrested right now. No, you're wrong. People are getting arrested if they go out after curfew. I don't know if you've noticed, but right now there's police cars in every corner. They're getting ready to enforce it everywhere. They're not just telling you have a curfew.
I know that they're fining people. The government, the New York state, I think it was the mayor, is fining people if they're outside or if they're in a group, in a crowd. Like, you know, it's nobody's business. I mean, if two people are walking down the street and they want to breathe on each other, let them breathe on each other. I mean, that's their if they want to call that their
right.
freedom, their right, then that's it. They're hurting themselves and each other, but who am I to judge that? Let them go ahead and breathe on each other if they want to go, you know. But the fact that the government is always looking for a way to benefit off of every crisis, that's why if we don't stay vigilant, and our rights, we're going to fail. We're going to wind up being like some of these countries that that suppress their rights. You know, America is a great country in its vision and what it was created for, and we have to support that because there's no place like it in the world. I'm not standing on a soapbox, but we do have certain things that we take advantage of, and we have first world problems, all these things that we're dealing with are just a result of being starting to ask these questions. We're being threatened by this virus. But let's look at this virus as it's not a threat. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's look at it as something that's going to open us up to being better people as a result. It's like a medicine. But you might think
so
I sound crazy saying that.
So basically, there's potential here of creating a world where people have lost every single freedom they've ever had. That's potential there. But what I'm saying is that people do not have the luxury of being afraid and being home and being scared. They need to really be brave and get up and see what's happening and say, no, we're not going to accept it, because we do have the power. The reason that the media and everybody works so hard to get our perception the way they want is because our perception to them is very, very important. We do have that autonomy. We do have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to be afraid. And yes, I'm going to stand up for my rights. And no, I'm not going to just hide in the corner and say, oh my God, you're telling me to do that. I'm going to do it. So no, I think being brave now, not being afraid, that's really one of the most important things to do. I think being introspective and taking a look at your own self and saying, how can I make myself better? What is it in my brain that I can fix? Because basically, you can fix your own brain that I can fix so that I can do whatever needs to be done right now and do the best that I can and not come from a point of fear and a point of paranoia and a point of, I have no choice. I mean, the government is so big and I'm so small. I just have to go along with everything they say. No, you don't do that, because when you're afraid, there's nothing you're going to do. You're going to not only, your rights are not only going to be taken away from you, you're going to be gladly giving it away. Oh my God, I'm so afraid. Take my rights and make me not afraid anymore. So you don't want to be afraid. You don't want to be the person that curls up in the corner and says, oh my God, this is just too much. Oh my God, take it. That doesn't serve anyone. So being brave.
Well, if you want to get over your fear, and you want to get over that darkness that you feel, and not you, but in general.
No, yeah, me too. We all feel that.
I'm saying that if you want, I'm saying, okay, but I'm using you as meaning the world. If you want to get over that fear, then go out and do something nice for someone else, and don't do it like you're doing it for recognition. Or you're doing it for your own benefit. See if you can do perform a real altruistic act where there's no concern for your own benefit. You just want to give to others. It doesn't matter. You don't have to give them a physical thing. Prepare them a nice meal. Really give them a heartfelt a sense of love. Give them something that's of value. And without any concern for your own benefit. This is a very difficult thing to do. And most people can't do it because we're not made that way. We think we want to do that. We'd like to do that. But when it comes down to it, we only do that for our own self-benefit. You know, everything we do is just for our own self-benefit. I know that's a hard thing to hear. But if you think about it, you know, we're constantly looking for ways to make ourselves comfortable, and this is why we're very uncomfortable right now. You can say that this virus is going to be taking the advantage of the powers that the government and the police and everything. And yeah, they always try and do things that test things to see what the threshold is, how much we can absorb. So they can get an idea of how much control they can take the next time. Yeah, so we have, again, you know, it's up to us to make sure that we maintain that sense of that independence and that sense of freedom from that. And we seem to be losing it because of our hatred of each other. The hatred in the world now is so thick. Just the hatred in America is so disproportionate to what, you know, with the way we're living is shocking, the amount of hatred. And it's coming from every direction because there's something inside of us, each individual, that stands uncorrected in the face of the world that needs to be looked at. We need to be responsible for that. How we can fix that in us, that those things that are broken, those things that don't make the world a good place, or however we perceive good, or just making it better for each other without having to get a political system or any other monetary system involved in it. It's a very, very basic attitude. We've politicized it. We put it in films now. We put it, you know, we do everything to turn us away, to create fear. You remember the other day I was speaking with you about the media and what they're doing, how they, we were mentioning about films and how apocalyptic they are in
Well,
their
yeah,
subject
that
matter.
they kind of prepared the masses to what's going to happen now. And that's another reason, you know, it's not accidental and it is man-made. All the movies that they have been producing within the last maybe 10 years have been about post-apocalyptic society, like the Hunger Game type of societies, the pandemics, the Walking Dead, where people are just basically dropping dead everywhere. That's been a huge way of the younger generation, the people that were born in the 90s and the year 2000, they've been brought up with basically those kind of movies. So to them, it's like, oh yeah, it's just like a sci-fi movie, and it's just the way it is, because the brain is already desensitized to that. But any normal human being that has not been desensitized to that will see this and say, no, this is an infringement on my life, on my rights. I will not put up with it, and people will be willing to die for it. And honestly, I think this would have been a lot worse because I think the plan here was really bad. But I do think that it is being intervened and it's being interfered, and it isn't going to be as bad as they think that that they want it. I don't think that the one world government is going to be implemented at the end. I think they're going to lose.
Interesting. So how do you see yourself in all of this? How do you see, like, beyond the fear, what do you think is the remedy for this? If you were to put it into you know,
I
your
wish I had
own
a remedy for
thoughts.
this, because if I had a remedy for this, I would be out shouting it out to the world. But I don't have a remedy, but I do have a few ideas of what people can do. And it's got to be an awakening. People have got to wake up to reality. People have got to wake up to themselves and to the world around them, and to stop living in a delusional illusion that the government is their big, merciful, loving brother that wants to take care of them. Because that's a very dangerous place to be right now. Even the whole idea of people running out to buy toilet paper makes no sense, and just shows you how much control that the media and the government has over people. When people are about to die and their life is in danger, they don't think about how they're going to wipe their butt. I'm sorry for using that. That's just not a normal way of thinking.
Actually,
That's
that's what I was thinking as you were mentioning this. This is basically what people are thinking. The world's going to end. I want to make sure my rear end is clean. You know,
yeah, exactly. That makes no sense. So
it's like when
the
you're
fact that that
when
happened, I think that I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's some kind of a mass deception experiment with people. Let's experiment and see how many people we can get to go out and wipe off the toilet paper. And I think it was very, very successful. So yeah, I think it's true. I think that one of the things that we have to do is get right with ourselves, with our creator, with our true mission in life, which is to connect to the higher power that created us. That's one of the most important things, and the only way to live through any crisis, especially something as big as this. and
right.
get ready to defend yourself and to survive, because you might have to defend your very life. What are you going to do if they come to your house tomorrow and they say, you can't walk out on the street if you're not going to get vaccinated? You can't fly on an airplane if you don't get vaccinated. In China right now, they have monitoring. Each and every person is being monitored, and they have what they call social credit. So if you do something that is acceptable for the government, you get a credit, you get a plus. If you do something that's not acceptable, you get a credit taken away from you. So if you don't have enough credits, you can't get on the bus, you can't go to work. There's people right now in China that cannot get on an airplane because they haven't behaved according to what they want them to behave. That's what could happen here. That's what can happen to us. If they come and say, you know, we have to protect you, we have to make sure we know everywhere you go, we have to just put this tiny little chip in your hand so that if you happen to go into a danger zone, we can protect you from that. And that would mean either on your hand or on your phone that they can track not only everywhere you go, but everything you do and if you're not right with God,
right.
if you're not straightened with your consciousness, if you're afraid to die and you haven't woken up, that would be a very horrible place to be. Horrible place to be.
Right. But this, let me add this, because America is unique in the fact that it was built on the idea of a creator, of God. It was built on the idea of personal freedoms. And it was built on that. This is the only country in the world that's ever been created that way, but that thought. We never had to suffer hundreds of years or even millennia of royalty, you know. So we have no relationship really to royalty and kings and queens and that hierarchy. So we've always been a country of seekers of freedom. And expressing that. And that is so much a part of our DNA that the only way that we could lose that is if we willfully allow it to be taken from us. And I don't know if China is a good example. China has no human rights. You know, they don't regard the life of the other in the way that we do. So, you know, that's another story. You know, when the virus, they were locking people in the house, like you said before. But we, you know, only people that would want to adapt those things are people who are looking for their own, for more power. And the first ones you point to are politicians and I guess millionaires and billionaires, you know, that people think that that all evil comes from people with money. You know, when I was a kid in school, they used to say money is the root of all evil. And I thought, oh, God, that means I can never like money. What they left out was the love of money is the root of evil, because I'm loving that thing that is going to actually destroy me at some point. But money it should not be, you know, looked at that way and viewed that way. And, you know, when we this demonizing of wealth now is something that will hurt us in the long run. And it's probably scaring more the people who have the money than those that don't. Because let me tell you, if you have a lot of money, you're not living some grandiose life where you have a care in the world. That's all you're thinking about is how am I going to protect my money, my investments, and, you know, what I'm worth. As you spend your days and nights.
Yeah, right now, if you have a lot of money, you have a lot to lose. And so we're running out of time, Peter. We have a minute and a half left. Do you want to kind of sum it up in a quick way here before we run out of time?
Well, we discussed a lot, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think that, we sure did. I think that from the perspective of this virus, we should look at it as our friend. And not like we would carelessly allow ourselves to, not by being careless. When I say we look at it as our friend, we look at it as a correction, something that will show us where we need to fix ourselves, what it's forcing us to do, how it's forcing us to relate to each other in a good way, in a strong way that builds a strong humanity, builds a strong future for humanity. not something that's we don't treat it frivolously, and we see it as something that will help us to be able to see our potential, to wake us up, to allow it to wake us up in that way. And if we can do that together, it'll only take 10% of the world to do that, really. That's all it takes to have a change. And if we can do that, we can spread that through the world, we'll see a world that's a better place, that's a more kinder, more altruistic in that sense. More, you know, and this is where I see us going, hopefully. I have hope for that. That's my prayer for humanity, that we rise above this, we rise above all these things, and we actually control our bodies. We don't let some virus control our bodies, but we control it. We're in control, and to a degree. So we really need to see this as something of benefit. How about you? What would you like to say?
I would like to say that everybody should go and create a nice spa in their bathroom and take a nice, long, luxurious bath and kind of meditate a little bit on it, because you need to get your powers together, because things that are coming may not be so easy to handle. So you need to get strong and you need to get confident, and you need to also put together a group of people in your own community that can work together to protect yourself and everything that you have, because right now our wonderful leadership are letting people get out of prison that are criminals and murderers, and the police are not going to be able to handle them because they're going to be too busy having checkpoints and telling people where they can go and what they can do. I think community and people's relationships need to get very strong. The bond needs to get very strong. People need to start thinking mm-hmm. about how they can stand together to protect themselves and not to count on the government to do it. Because the reason, why would anybody in the right mind let out a whole bunch of prisoners from jail at this time? At this time, at a time when police are not available, at the time when things like that are happening, why would they let that out? So what? Do you want to create some kind of chaotic atmosphere? So people do need to get together. Friends do need to stand by each other to protect themselves and their families. And do it yes. with courage and with love and with understanding, not with fear and hate and resentment.
Well said. Well said. Thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure speaking to you. Let's do this again sometime. And, you know, the tougher the audience, the better, because the message has got to get through. So, you know, let's go through this fearlessly.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. And we've come now to the end of our time together here on Sippy Talk. This has been just an opening of throwing around ideas about what is going on right now. I plan to do a lot more of it, and we plan to hear a lot more information. And maybe Peter can even come back some next time and give us more of an insight than he already did. We're looking forward to hearing from you guys. And it's been really a pleasure speaking to you, Peter. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And don't forget, you're welcome. Don't forget, guys, we also want your story. We want to hear what you have to say. It could be any story, any opinion. We don't discriminate. We do still believe in free speech here. And you've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. We'll be talking to Peter DePaola. We bid you a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your car. Girl, you don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is.